This week has been a to and fro week for me. I've been going to and fro and catching myself coming and going at times. And I was at a place of stillness Wednesday morning. I went to Cedar Cross Retreat Center for morning prayers. And as we were gathered and he was reading out of this particular passage, Margaret read a different reading, a more modern reading, and she came into a particular place in her reading about commonality, the commonplace of community, and the particular person within it. And I was struck by that particular comment because often when we talk about the church, we talk about the larger church. Or if we talk about community and about what we want to do in community, we always seem to be getting bigger and bigger in our understanding of what that is. When this particular author brought us back to the particularity of a person. And if you listened carefully to what Lorraine read, the body of Christ is made up of many particular people with particular gifts. And we wouldn't be the organic body that we are without the variety that is even sitting here in these pews. But we all have one particular proclamation. And that is what we hear in the passage in Matthew. This particular passage in Matthew has gotten us in trouble as a church because it has to do with Peter. Peter has been considered the rock upon which God would build his church. And the reason why we often say that is because the translation for Peter is also rock. So if we listen to this passage again, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So is this rock Peter, or is this rock what Peter proclaimed? And what did Peter proclaim? He proclaimed, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So if Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, what is the rock? What is the foundation of Christ's church? That we all believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But what has happened to us as church is we all begin to interpret even this passage about what that means. So we have denominations and we have theologians that have kind of shaped denominations like Martin Luther, Charles Wesley, John Wesley, Calvin. John Calvin, all of them have shaped particular denominations by how they understand Scripture. But Jesus isn't talking about the divided church. Jesus is talking about keys to the kingdom of heaven, keys to the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about the church united. And what is the rock? What is the foundation of this kingdom of God? This foundation is the fact that we all can proclaim very particularly that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. So if we look across the multiple denominations or people without denominational affiliation, if we were to ask them, "Do you believe that?" What do you think they would say? They would say, "Yes, we believe that." They might add that, "but," and then continue on to how they would nuance it. But the bottom line is, brothers and sisters, the keys to the kingdom of God hinge not on whether or not we believe Peter is the rock, but whether we believe that the rock and foundation of our church is that Jesus is Lord and Son of the living God. So if we believe that, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Well, we go back to that particular passage in Romans. We hear that we've been given gifts. We hear that we've been given gifts to do what? to proclaim that particular message. But if we proclaim that particular message, we also proclaim who God is. That means we proclaim that God is love and that God created us as his children. That God created us each uniquely made, as Paul tells us in the Romans passage. That we have been fearfully and wonderfully made with particular gifts to proclaim a particular message in the way that is unique and wonderfully each of ours. But then I think back to Margaret. And I think back to what she shared with us in that morning devotion. And sometimes I even do it from here and call us to the wider community. When that particular author she read from doesn't call us necessarily to the wider community, it does call us to make a difference in the wider community, but calls us to make that difference one person at a time. That the belovedness of who we are when we are created is important for each of us to know. As we were in awakenings this morning, it was shared that one of our young people knew another young person who was cutting. And cutting is always a sign of a deep need to know how special and wonderful you are. That somehow you don't think that. Somehow the pain is greater within you so that you do something outward to say, this hurts more than what hurts inside. But that is a particular person who needs to know he or she is beloved by God. He or she needs to know how fearfully and wonderfully made they are. And that the kingdom of God is changed when that person experiences and realizes that wonder. And then I'm thinking about Miss Kay House, who's sitting at Senior Citizens, and how she has made that kind of connection to through her senior circle that she helped establish years ago, and how important that gathering is to the particular seniors who are there, because in that moment they remember that they're connected and that they're important. And that they too are fearfully and wonderfully made. If we believe what we say, what we believe in the Apostles' Creed, if we believe all of these things, that we believe in the church, the Holy Catholic Church, the one body, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, then we need to be people who walk that belief and in our particular way make that particular proclamation about a God who loves them, who desires them to be in the kingdom. And it's, we could say, this is the keypad number for the church, so come on in. But we need to be ones who can hand over the keys to the kingdom and say, here, this place is for you. Welcome. Come on in, because guess what? God loves you just as you are. And God wants this for you. The world needs this more today than it ever needed it. But we can't solve those big, big, big world problems because they're huge. But we can care for the person right beside us. The person God puts in front of us, the person that we pass who looks like they need someone just to say hello. When I went on the Global Vision trip to New York and we did a trip on the homeless, one of the things the homeless people who interviewed and came to seminars with us kept saying is, we don't necessarily need, well, they need food and they need shelter and they need jobs. They need all those things. But the thing that they primarily said first is we need to be acknowledged that we even exist. that when you see us on the street, to not turn away, to not be afraid, not to shun us because you're scared because we're dirty and maybe vomits on us and who knows what else is hanging out around them, or maybe they're just tired and haven't showered and haven't had a meal. They want to be recognized as what they are, a child of a living God. Jesus went on to say, when he spoke about the keys to the kingdom, he said that what would be loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven, and whatever would be bound on earth would be bound in heaven. We, as the children of God, are called to be ones to help people release that which they have bound themselves up in. And if we find that we have bound ourselves up in things, we need to go to the one who can bring forgiveness and reconciliation and peace in our life. There are things, sin can hold us so tight. And the biggest sin, I think, that holds us is often the sin of unforgiveness that creates a bitter taste in our mouth. And the one we won't forgive is long gone. They don't even know we haven't forgiven them most of the time. So the one that unforgiveness is hurting is us. It breaks that relationship with God. And if we bind ourselves in unforgiveness here, it's bound in heaven. Let go. Let God bring healing and wholeness to your life so that you can share that message of healing and wholeness in someone else's life. We are one body because we all stand on the foundation, the rock, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that particular proclamation is for us to share with the world so that the world may be transformed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.